Well, good day to everyone, and it's good to be back with you as we study God's Word together. It's been a long 3 weeks, but it's been a refreshing 3 weeks for me. Got a lot going on in life, as we all do, and this was a good time for me just to spend a little more time with the Lord than we have been, when instead of just preparing for things to teach. And I think that's so important. I think it's easy for those who teach to get hung up in just preparing versus preparing teachings versus just preparing themselves to be ready. So we're going to be talking today about into His marvelous light. These are some things that the Lord began to show me during these 3 weeks that we were spending time with Him. And we're going to be looking at a lot of Old Testament scriptures and then tying them to new. And this really just has opened my eyes, and I'll share two verses with you that kind of set the tone for the study and for today. And then we'll share how I got to this point and what I went through in looking at it. I think you'll find it of interest. And I would encourage you, when the Lord leads you to start in the middle of somewhere, don't just dismiss it, because this is really what happened with me. I want to read to you 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Speaking of us as believers, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And I'm reading New American Standard, and I like what it says, a people for God's own possession. So that you, myself as well as you, may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so that phrase, out of darkness into His marvelous light, really is where I believe the Lord showed me the title of this study is to be. And what we want to do is to explore the magnitude of this statement of being moved into His marvelous light and get revelation on what this means for each of us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, which is really where I got the title for today's session, it says, for you are all sons of light. Thus the title for today's session, children of light. But it says we're sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of darkness. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Now, we're going to be exploring darkness a little bit. But let me just say that I want you to begin to think about darkness not as just evil, which we know it can mean, but also being in a situation without God, without His presence in what's going on. And so as sons of light and sons of day, you're going to see we're not only going to have the Holy Spirit disclose to us who we are, but I think we're going to even see some things we're to be doing during this day that we are here. Now, I want to step back and just talk for a moment about how we begin doing this. The Lord had me begin reading in Isaiah, and I found some verses in Isaiah 42 that we have really started with. But I read 42 and 43, and it just kept going all the way up through the redemptive chapter of 53 and 54 that follows. And then I get to chapter 60. And the Lord just captures me at the end of these 3 weeks on the three verses that I want to share with you today that really form the basis of what we're going to talk about. And it's in Isaiah 60. We're going to read the first three verses together, and then we'll begin to talk about it as being into His marvelous light and see the children of light and what we have available to us. But we're only going to set the base for that today. So Isaiah 60, first verse, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now, I just want you to remember, and I think we'll mention it again, that at the time a lot of these prophecies in Isaiah were written, the children of Israel were held in captivity. And Cyrus was the deliverer that came to free them up. So we're dealing with the children of Israel in many ways in a physical realm, but we're also introducing spiritual truths in that. And that's really a lot of the focus today. So we go back to verse 1. Arise, shine, and then here's this phrase, for your light has come. Now, why is this so important? Your light has come. Well, let's go back in Scripture and let it explain what it was talking about. Because in the previous chapter, in 59, verses 15, and we'll start with in the middle of it through 17, reads this way. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and astonished that there was no one to intercede. So he's talking about no man to stand in the gap for his people and nobody to intercede for them. And then it says, then his own arm brought salvation to him. And if you'll notice, the him is capitalized. So he's talking about Jesus. And his righteousness upheld him. And obviously we know Jesus lived that righteous life. And in verse 17a, the first half of it says, he put on righteousness like a breastplate. So we're beginning to see some armor discussed here. And a helmet of salvation on his head. So we're going to ask some questions, but you already know the answer. Whom is this describing? Well, it's verse Jesus, and we see that actually laid out clearly in verse 20. And a Redeemer will come to Zion. Now remember, Zion is a type of the church. So as we're seeing things for the Jewish people, both physical and spiritual, we're also seeing a glimpse of what is spiritual for you and I today, the life side of who we are. So a Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. So here are the Jews. We've talked about their physical captivity, needing a deliverance. But God had a plan for them well beyond that. Because who was he talking about? He's talking about the Redeemer being Jesus, being Messiah. So he's actually setting up a spiritual deliverance for the Jews. A restoring, if I can say it this way, for what Adam lost. But what do we know? On the spiritual side of it, most Jews at that time did not receive Jesus as the Messiah. Now, when I said restoring what Adam lost for the Jews, you can also begin to think about yourself. And so that takes us then to this. Whom else is he talking about here? Well, in Ephesians 2:11, it's spoken about us. It says, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. So this is what the Jews referred to Gentiles, what I was before accepting Jesus. In this circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. So everything with the Jews is about the flesh, but we know we've been circumcised in our heart. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you'll see that too. And I would say here, but God, he had a plan. In truth, I would really say to you that this phrase, arise and shine, has what? I would think it has the basis of really an invitation for people to become believers. That's how we can read it in the light of our new covenant. And think about this now. Ephesians 2:11, I can say this phrase, but God, he had this plan for you and for me to bring Jesus to the earth so that we could be redeemed and walk and be brought into a place of covenant and having God with us, not alien to both of those. Now, if we go back to the first verse here, and we're just setting things up, remember, establishing some groundwork. The first two words are arise and shine. So let's spend a few minutes on these two words. Arise indicates, by the nature of the word, a movement, a getting up, literally, is what the Greek word means. But when I read this, I'm seeing this in terms of the New Testament. And what does it talk about? Remember, we have a warning to wake up or to awake those of you who sleep. And so I see this, and I think we need to see it, beginning to see it, more in terms of New Testament than just an Old Testament prophecy. See what it actually means to us. We look at the word shine. It's a Hebrew word, and it's the Hebrew word or, which is or. And its pronunciation, the literation of it is O-R-E, as we would have for iron ore or something like that. So that's the way the word is spoken. But this word literally means to be luminous or to shine. We might say it this way. It means to be or to become light. Now, let me just interject here. I've thought and I've heard people talk, but I'm seeing this a little bit differently, and I don't think I'm the only one. I've heard some other teachers talk a little about this. I've taught that this is when it's talking to us as the lesser light versus the greater light. Obviously it is. Jesus is the light, and we are children of the light. But I want you to begin to see this as more as we're just reflecting Jesus, as the moon does the light of the sun. There's a shift that I'm seeing occurred, and this is some of what the Lord began to minister to me, that the origin of this light, obviously Jesus, but it is a little different than I've thought about it. So go with an open heart here and let Holy Spirit talk to you. Now, I think it's always good to go back and look at the first use of words. So let's go back to Genesis 1, to the beginning. And we'll look in verses 1 through 3 at this word, light. Or the word that's actually used or in the scripture is shine. So arise, and we're going to talk about the word shine, which means to be or to become light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says then, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. There's some key concepts I think we need to talk about here, and I'll do this as we go through it. The heavens and the earth had been created, but they were what? Formless, void, and a darkness was over them. So that's the condition of the earth. Void of structure, darkness, and many expositors, many more than one, use the word chaotic or full of chaos. Now, as I meditate on that, I begin to think about the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness, you know, we would normally associate with the devil, but I think we need to see it as those without God or a place without God. And you'll see why that's important as we go to the next few scriptures. So I want to point out two items that we want to focus on. What we are viewing here, well, let me back up. I need to finish verse 2 and then go to 3. So the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And we could say some of that about the earth today in terms of the way sin reigns. The kingdom of darkness is reigning. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. So there's Holy Spirit moving, brooding over this earth, which is covered in water. Remember? Land and water have not been separated at this point. And in verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now that is the same word that was used for shine, or that we saw. Literally, he's saying, light be. But Young's literal translation, and he was a real scholar in the Hebrew language, has this phrase, light is. So when God declared light to be, it still is. His word is truth always, and it has come to pass. So two items we want to witness here is what we're seeing with this, I believe, I want to characterize it as a rebirth of the earth. You know, some actually believe that the devil was sent to this place of voidness and darkness, and you can certainly see how he would bring chaos. when he was key and the demons who followed him were cast out of heaven. I don't have scriptural proof to say that. It makes some sense, but I think the key part then, and that's why I wanted to go this route, was this means really, I think, this darkness without God, the true God. So what we're witnessing here is a rebirth of the earth. And the second thing that I want you to see, I want you to begin to see this as a foretelling of what happens to man, of us today, as we have been removed from the kingdom of darkness and chaos to what? To the kingdom of light of His dear Son. Now, think about this in those terms. And where does it all begin? It really all begins with Holy Spirit. You can see the rebirth of Jesus even in this as well. As after His crucifixion, and the Lord declares that enough. And I believe the Holy Spirit went and shook hell, and Jesus was reborn, and Spirit took His body again. So it all begins with Holy Spirit. And that's a real focus for us, because everything we need to be doing today, we need to be hearing and walking in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But let's look at a pattern or an example of how this is important. Now, if you'll think back with me to Ezekiel 37, and I'll just skip through some of the first verses. The Lord brought the prophet to this plain, this in the middle of a valley. And what was there? That was where the dry bones were. And He told him to prophesy to these bones and say, "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And then He tells him to cause breath to come back into these bones. And what happens? They go to rattling. Now, let me tell you that the word breath there is the Hebrew word ruach, which is also the word used for the Spirit of God. So these bones are rattling. And then in verse 6, He says to the man, I'll put sinews on you and make you grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath, there's that word again, ruach, in you that you may come alive and you will know I'm the Lord. And so Ezekiel prophesies just as he's told in verse 7, and the bones and the rattling begin. And then in verse 8, the prophet picks up and it says, "As I looked, behold, sinews were on them, and flesh was growing, and skin covered them." So life, forms of life are beginning to form, but life itself is not there. Because He said, but there was no breath, ruach again, no spirit in them. And then He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath." Now, don't forget, all the time we're talking about spirit. And can you see the spirit brooding over these bones just like He was the earth? And what He said is, "Come from the four winds." Now, we know when it refers to winds, it's also talking about spirit. "Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life." And what do we know? They did. So again, breath here, the four winds, all referring to the Holy Spirit. And again, I see this as the Holy Spirit just brooding over these bones, waiting for the Word of God. It was important that a man speak this into existence. Just like we saw God work with Abraham and do something with his son of being willing to sacrifice him so he could do the same with his son. And so on earth then, what we see in these verses, going back to creation, it was the Spirit who brought life when the Lord said, "Light be," and light was. It was the Spirit of power of the Lord who was brooding over, who caused this new creation to be effected. And you know what? I see that the same thing that the Spirit is doing over man today, of what He did over me, what He did over you, desiring that the presence of God be in us. And He brooded over us, waiting for us to say, "Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior." And so what happened then? Let's go back to the earth. As this light came, as life was positioned to come to the earth, as the Lord described more things. Well, light came to the earth. Might I begin to think about this, that, and you'll see why I say this, that might we think about this as the kingdom of God came to this desolate, chaotic darkness. And so that raises the question then, what was this light? Was it the light? It wasn't the sun and the moon, because those aren't created until verses later. Was it the light of the kingdom of God? And I really believe that's what it is. You know, it's that light that we're going to experience in heaven, where there's no need for a sun because the light of Jesus is going to be so bright. So coming to the earth then, over this earth, was the light and the glory of his kingdom. Now that raises another question. And again, we're going over some of these things so we can begin to see this in us. The next question that it raises is, when we were born again, what is recreated in us? Now, we'll look in detail at some of these scriptures, maybe, but we know that we are recreated in our spirit as something that never before existed. And it's in union with what? The Holy Spirit. So in other words, Holy Spirit comes into us in union inside this tent of flesh that we dwell in. And in doing that, then, what happens to us? We are separated from the kingdom of darkness. As light comes into us, and we're placed into this kingdom of light that we saw earlier. But we also need to understand that God's light and his glory go together. And so there is God in all his glory, in the fullness, dwelling in upon us. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 and 9 reads this way. For you were formerly of darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then he actually talks about some of the fruit of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, all righteousness, all truth. And think again about what 1 Peter 2:9 said about us. Chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so much so that he's taken residence in us so that we can proclaim the excellencies of he who's called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. And that's what we're exploring. Now, to wrap up today, take just a couple of more minutes. I want us to go back to verse 1 of Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord written upon us. Now, think about the Jewish people. When they left Egypt, Holy Spirit was with them. So it wasn't like they were just totally without the Holy Spirit. But for you and I, as we were without Jesus and we receive him, what happens? Well, we are made righteous as he bore our sins, and he comes into us. So these verses we need to read in terms of context for us today. Just as he came and hovered over the earth and he's hovered over us, then when God said light be, then that light took hold in the earth, in the heavens, in the earth. And listen to what Jesus says as we see this for us today in John 14, 16 through 20. He says, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you another helper, talking about Holy Spirit, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. And then he says to his disciples, this very important line, but you know him because he abides with you. And then look at these five words, and will be in you. 18 goes on to say, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. How's he going to do that? He's going to come back to earth to the disciples, but he comes back to earth in the form, into us, in the form of Holy Spirit. So he said, after a little while, the world will not behold me anymore, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. Now, let me say, this is the first place we're going to begin to talk about, and much more next week, I believe, life and light. And you're going to almost be able to see them as equals. In 20 says, and in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So I want you to begin to see the Holy Spirit hovering over you. You speak words that He can respond to based on what Jesus did for us. And He just doesn't hover over you anymore. He recreates and takes up residence in you. Now, how does this occur? By the Spirit of truth, my new spirit man. So let's wrap up by looking at verse 21 in John 14. Jesus is saying, "He who has my commandments and keep them," so He's talking about us as believers today, "he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father," and I'll add, loved by his Father, just loving us, just like he loves Jesus. And Jesus said, "And I will love him and will disclose," now some other words, some other translations say, "I will manifest to him, myself to him." But here's the interesting part for us to really think on. The word manifest in the Greek comes from two words. The first word means intense, and the second word means shining. Can I say that his light that has come for to shine in us came to us with the Holy Spirit? And with the Holy Spirit coming, the fullness of it, so all the glory of God did as well. So where is his kingdom? Where is the kingdom of light today? We'll see next week more on this, but it's in our spirit. The kingdom of God on this earth is in each of us today. And it's from the power that that gives us that we're able to go and proclaim and display the excellencies of him who's called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. So we've set a foundation for this great truth that positions us so well in the earth, and we'll talk more about it in the coming sessions. Love you guys. Good to be back with you, and I look forward to what the Lord's going to share with us.